Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong.
All right, folks, welcome to the National Intel Report. We're back. For hour two, I'm your host, William Rapillon. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, folks, to stress it again and donate and set up a regular recurring monthly donation if you can, even if it's a dollar, you know, just set up that recurring donation with the station. Helps the station keep, you know, stability and knowing the money that's coming in and the regular donors. It helps to build a good relationship with the station and, just gets you on the radar, you know? And, yeah. So, keep free speech alive, folks, because this is where it's at. This is where it's at. You're not going to find it on Newsmax. You're not going to find it in the other alternative media, the normie alternative. Newsmax or OAN. I think they're over there cheering for Israel right now. Which, yeah, no thanks. Not my cup of tea. And not the world's cup of tea, really. You know, not if you want to have a world that exists in 10 years. So, all right, so let's get back to the callers. I got three callers here. So I'll just call you out by name. First, we're going to take Sean, and then we got Ken in Texas, and then Neil in Boston. I haven't talked to Sean before, and I don't think I've talked to Neil before. So, Sean, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. You in Hawaii?
Yeah, I live in Hawaii, Oahu.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I want to say, anybody with a brain would know that Russia is going to fuel payback through this Israeli thing. And another thing, Turkey said we're coming in any night. So this thing is, there's going to be an attack on Israel. And then another thing, what is the Gerald Ford doing out there? It's a useless aircraft carrier. I mean, on YouTube, it has tons of problems. I wanted to say, get prepared for probably $15 a gallon. I mean, because this thing is going to have a response. And I mean, it's just very dangerous times. And I think that they keep whispering about this draft. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
I appreciate the call.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me, Sean, love to get your take on Lahaina as well, but let me just comment on what you just brought up here. So yeah, this they're sending over the Gerald Ford, right? This aircraft carrier. It's already there. Yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, it's got tons of problems with the propulsion, and then they tried to launch planes without using the old steam, and it just doesn't work. And I think what they're going to do is just use it as another false flag.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I read an article or I heard somebody else talking about it. I haven't researched it too much, but that I don't know what kind of anti-ballistic missile defense these kind of older aircraft carriers have, but from what I hear, the missiles now that can, these ballistic missiles that Russia would have access to, for example, not that Russia would attack us, but I don't think.
Remember, we allegedly sunk one of their precious boats too. That had like a special name to it and everything.
Well, so these ballistic missiles being able to travel like Mach 9, right? Mach 9. So that means it's 9,000 miles an hour. So you go all the way across the United States in about 30 minutes.
And our cruise missiles, it's documented, fly almost like an airliner. It flies at 500 miles an hour. Their cruise missiles fly at Mach speed. Their torpedoes are better. I mean, we are absolutely walking into just a nightmare.
Definitely.
We need a military coup.
Right about the false flag, yeah.
I'm sorry. We need a military coup of men who have some type of ethics, morals, in sense of the future.
It seems amazing to me that, this very small, tiny population would be able to get the whole world to consent to participating in their own genocide or enslavement. So that's why it's so important, the information, we wake people up and continue talking about it, tell the truth, and get the truth out there. Because it does matter. I mean, a lot of people think it doesn't. I think it does. I think that to a degree, they like to throw it in our faces and tell us what they're doing. But that also kind of relies on there being a significant threshold of people that are completely oblivious to what's going on.
But asleep.
Yeah. Yep. They are that. That's for sure. So, So what do you think about this chicken swinging that occurred in Lahaina before Gaza? So first Lahaina, we brought up the term chicken swinger, right?
Yes. What's shocking is that it used to be a day and time when people would say, who is responsible? Make this person resign, maybe even prosecute him. They look down their nose at us as if they did a good job. And you know what? The Army Corps of Engineers, if they were ordered to, could rebuild everything over there, even have the option of the smart city stupid stuff. I mean, it's billions to every other country. You get a billion, you get a billion. It's just embarrassing.
Well, they're going to rebuild it in their image. You know, this is a very expensive property, and the people that get it are BlackRock and then all of their rich crony friends. You know, they've just killed off all these people, and they're...
And remember, the Hawaiians didn't choose to become American. They got occupied. I mean, it's because that's the capital of Hawaii. I mean, it's appalling. It's appalling, man. I mean, what's next? It's almost like I'm just waiting for Pearl Harbor to just get hit and our electricity to cut off. And I mean, who knows? Pearl Harbor will be a target.
I mean, that's the important thing, you know. I really hope that people will see this pattern of false flags and start putting them all together, you know. That's why Pearl Harbor itself is such an important false flag to become educated about and tell people about how it came about.
Yes.
Like
it's a refueling station for the Navy. I mean, all those diesel boats get refueled here before they get any further east.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I appreciate the call there, Sean. Please call
again. Support the show, guys. I'm proud of you, man. Yeah, this is real freedom right here. And, man, there's going to be a response. I mean, we need to get prepared as best you can. Thank you for the time. God bless this channel. All right. Bye-bye. Thanks.
You too, Sean. Thanks again. Appreciate it. Take care, buddy. It's important, you know, what he's bringing up there. Good points. So we got Ken in Texas. Ken, welcome to the show.
WR, good evening. Boy, you're covering a lot of ground tonight. It's hard to keep my original thought that I was calling about. But when it comes to Lahaina, I like to call it like I see it. I call it a Lahaina cost. And, you know, when you only have 6 second sound bite to get a point across, that's why I like to say that. Because truly, that's what happened. You know, they were burned out, up in smoke. But I have to comment on the Catholic comments in that, as a reformer myself, I don't believe in sacerdotal nonsense. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus. And if you have propitiation of your sins in Christ, then you have expiation of your sins in Christ, and thus a priest is not necessary. But I digress. I didn't call about that.
Well, you know, actually, I agree with you about that. That's the one thing, you know, with I have a problem with. I really do have a problem with it. You know, one of the things that I've said before is it's between you and God, and that's who you should be talking to. I don't believe in putting, I don't think that was ever intended for them to put a, so I'd even ask E. Michael Jones about that. I'm sure he'd have an answer for it, but, having a priest between you and God. So that's just not something that I think is, you know, so for one good example would be like, let's say, there's an infidelity in your marriage or something, right? And the person that committed the infidelity goes and commits and confesses to the priest, and they're done with it. They never tell their spouse about it. They just say, okay, I don't do it anymore. And then, you know, well, that's not the kind of relationship I would want to be in. I wouldn't want to be in a relationship with someone who thinks that, you know, all they have to do is go confess the sin to a priest and then you're good, and possibly it's going to happen again, maybe, and then go confess again. You know,
it's a hot potato conversation, you know, and the two groups have been, you know, discussing, arguing, debating this issue for hundreds of years, and heads have rolled and so on and so forth. But
real quick, before I lose my thought, Ken, and I'm sorry for interrupting, but I had one more thought I wanted to peep out just from what Sean had said, and was about the occupiers of Hawaii, and Jews occupy Hawaii now. So you've got a Jewish senator, you have all these Jews running the show there, Jewish senator, Jewish governor, Then the presiding over the situation was the same person presiding over the fallout of the – I forgot what the title was, but the person was also in charge of the Las Vegas shooting. What happened there?
Right.
Anyway, go ahead. Sorry, go for it.
No, that's fully your prerogative, and I want to hear what you have to say as well, so no problema. It just drives the point home even stronger that it was a Lahaina cost. I really wish people would call it that. Until things are restored as best they can be for the Hawaiian people's satisfaction and no one else's. That's the bottom line. We can go to
start off every sentence with when the Jews committed the Lahaina cost, you know, and then move on to the next thing. The people of Lahaina, many of them died and lost their lives. When the Jews committed the Lahaina cost,
exactly.
It wasn't the first Holocaust committed by Jews. Then they followed it up with committing a Holocaust against Gaza. So, and then we can name many other Holocausts the Jews have committed, like who's the Israeli politician that says that they need another Dresden in Gaza. Well, thank you for admitting that you committed the Holocaust in Dresden, Jews. Jewish Holocaust.
Big pharma.
And it's just got real important when you say Jewish Holocaust, you make sure it's not one that was no question that it was the Jews that committed it, not that we're suffered from it. But they hear Jew and Holocaust together, the semantics don't matter in people's brains. They just go automatically goes out the window.
So I drive home to Lahaina cost, but that segues into what I actually called about, and that is that I pretty much used to mind my own business, except for, you know, engaging in theological discussions, theological debates, but that was, you know, with friends, family, relatives type of people. But then there came a point in time, you know, where I evolved from, you know, just a kid that believed in God to a kid that, you know, went to church, a kid that believes in Christianity. And then all of a sudden, you know, I had to believe in Judeo-Christianity. And then I start really getting into theology and finally, you know, come to realize that that's not exactly what the situation is. And all of a sudden, just because I'm white, single male at that time, I'm a domestic terrorist. Just because I'm white. And so I started going, well, now, wait a minute. I wasn't involved. I wasn't engaged in any of this political nonsense because it wasn't my thing. But to call somebody white is racist. And we have to stop calling each other white because we're not white. We're Saxon or Anglo-Saxon or Celtic or Germanic. And so we're letting them drive the narrative. And I can remember when I was much younger and I'd fill out forms, it wouldn't ask me if I was white. It would ask me if I was Anglo-Saxon.
And really?
So, yeah. So this is a fairly recent evolution to asking if somebody's white or black, you know, and they got it right by saying, hey, we're not black, we're African-American. And, you know, they don't ask you if you're brown. You know, they ask you if you're Hispanic.
Right. You know, E. Michael Jones did actually a really good thing about this. He's like, he's talking about the exact same thing, even though he comes at it from believing there's only three ethnicities and they're all religious. They're not ethnic necessarily. He thought of ethnicities, but Jew, Catholic, and Protestant. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, it's you could go that way as well, because there are black Jews, you know, Ethiopians in North Africa, and there are, you know, air quotes, white Jews. I know they don't call themselves white, but isn't that interesting conversation in itself? So it's not about skin pigmentation. And again, the politics always follows the religion. So I think he's probably right that it is more about religion. But I just wanted to drive home that we shouldn't call ourselves white this or white that or, you know, white national or even a white supremacist. You know, you could be Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, whatever. We need to stop letting them drive the narrative. And yeah, I really appreciate your show. Thank you for letting me babble on. And I really thank you.
Oh, you got it. Yeah, Ken, no problem. I appreciate the call, and I like the point that you're making. It's true. It's like it's true. We're calling ourselves white. I know we've become very used to it, and it's not derogatory to us necessarily, but it kind of is now because they've attached you know, whiteness as the enemy in Amalek. If we can get away from, you know, being what the Jews have categorized us as white and put us in their crosshairs, their target, put a target on our backs because we're white.
Exactly. So we start saying, hey, that's anti-Celtic or that's anti-Saxon, you know.
I like that idea a lot, Ken. You could say, hey, don't call me white. That's racist. You know, it's. I hate that stupid word. I think it's such a dumb word. Only racism is Jewish racism that really exists in the world, but I digress.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, WR. See you later. Bye.
Got it, buddy. All right. We're back after the break. We've got Neil in Boston and then Charles in St. Petersburg when we come back. So I got some other clips. We're back. Back.
Kirat Atman, says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, no.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act, the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
I'm going to take trying to figure out what to do first here. There's some stuff I want to get through. I've got three more calls. I've got Neil in Boston next, Charles in St. Petersburg, and Scott in Arizona now. So I think I'll go ahead and take Neil in Boston here. Neil, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I'm just going to go number one, that tune by him. Legendary. I'm 50 years old. I'm a metalhead. I've been in bands, and when he died in the helicopter crash, like that was like one of the worst days of my life. And my friends didn't know, and that kind of pissed me off. But
you'd have been 16 or 17 at that time, then, right?
Yeah. I was born in 1973.
And he died in 1990. I forgot exactly.
Yeah,
I think June or something. Helicopter crash, and he was with
out of nowhere.
Bill Graham, I think, also died in the crash. I think, didn't he?
Yeah, it was very sad. But I actually picked up the phone and called you because of something you said in the first hour remind me of South Park episode where Randy Marsh, who's the dad of South Park, there was an episode where they were all basically burying their own heads in the sand, and Randy Marsh was like the last one. Like, there was nobody else behind him to bury the sand above his head.
Right. So he was trying to decide whether or not it was even necessary?
Well, I mean, it's just funny. I don't know. I know the episode. Yeah. I don't know, like, what year it was, but it was hysterical.
I'll have to check it out. It does sound pretty funny.
Just get to the other calls. I love you. All right.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. You know, South Park actually, thank you, Neil. I South Park just recently came out with something against Kathleen Kennedy, making fun of her, and she is the she's the CEO of something or some leader of some woke. Yeah, it was like an anti-woke thing. I guess look up South Park Kathleen Kennedy. I was just looking at it yesterday. But she super promotes wokeness, and they were making fun of that. Now, that brings to mind another episode of Beavis and Butthead where this was actually pretty cool, even though, you know, I consider these shows to be generally very degenerate, and they helped degenerate us to a degree. But Beavis and Butthead were in class, and I'm going to have to find this and play it when we have a little more time. But they were in class, and they were being educated on white privilege. And so they left. They said, oh, we got educated on white privilege. They took off, and they stole a police car and said, we have white privilege, so we get to do they crashed a police car into a telephone pole and all this stuff because they had white privilege. And they said, get out of the way to the cop. We have white privilege. It was pretty hilarious. I will make a point of playing it on the next show or playing it tomorrow on Jeremy's show. So please tune in then. Let me jump to the next caller now. We got Charles in St. Petersburg. Charles, welcome.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? I wanted to correct something about have you ever read Michael Hoffman the Second's? He's from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, revisionisthistory.org. One of his books and his papers, he goes into what happened in 1515 AD in Rome, you know, before the Catholic Church recognized usury. It had been for almost 1500 years before that, it had been regarded as a mortal sin to practice charging money on interest. You know, in 1515 AD, under the Medici popes, they started the beginning of usury being recognized as legitimate in economics. That's according to Michael Hoffman II. You know, I don't know if for me.
What year did usury become legitimized?
1515 AD.
Confused. So was there a decree?
I'm not into that much, it's in a lot of Michael Hoffman's works about how that was around 1518, I think, is the 95 theses of Martin Luther, beginnings of Protestants.
Do you have more you want to stick after the break?
Yeah, I can hold on.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's the obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now, I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I didn't have so much content. I just let that whole song play, but well. So we got I got Charles in Florida, and real quick, I need to do a shout out for Jeremy. It's his show tonight. Catch his show tonight. Ken in Texas, who called in. Jeremy actually texted me directly and said you should tell this caller commenting on Catholicism to check out my show tonight. So be sure to check out Jeremy's show tonight, In Plain Sight, at 9 Central, 10 Eastern. And then also check out his show tomorrow night, because I'll be on it, because I'm on with him every Thursday. And we have a lot of fun on that show. We haven't had as much fun lately. A lot of the characters that used to show up at the show have kind of disappeared. They don't really come around as much anymore. I don't know why. But you had like Bolshevik commissars that would show up, even even Jonathan Spleen Splat would show up sometimes. But this guy named Vladimir Strakovsky would show up.
Stop defaming me.
Commissar that would not stop defaming me. So, but I took it with a grain of salt, you know. Anyway, so, okay. So we're back to Charles. Charles, so what other point did you want to make there?
I want to make a point that all patriots should read the book, is if you can find a copy, by William Thomas Walsh, a professor at Georgetown University, written in the 30s, called Isabella the Crusader, about Queen Isabella. You know, she and her husband, Ferdinand II, were the ones in 1492 that finally liberated the last area of Spain from Moorish rule. And,
right.
And why they decided, the two couples, Ferdinand and Isabella, decided to get rid of crypto Jews, the Muranos and Morescos. You couldn't trust either one of them. There were wild insurrections that occurred, and they discovered, the king and queen of Spain discovered that their Jewish physician that they trusted had put a locket around the young infanta, the prince, which obscene picture of Jesus Christ and the cross and the Jew, and I'm not going to go into what obscene thing was on it, but they learned not to trust either of those groups. You know, Spain.
Yeah, they expelled the Jews too, which is wonderful.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah. Morescos and Muranos. A Moresco is a crypto Moor that pretends to be a Christian, and a Murano is a crypto Jew that pretends to be a convert to Christianity in Spain. It took almost 700 years from 711 AD, when the government of Spain was turned over by Jews who let the Moors in. They opened the gates to them, let them in, you know, and the Visigoth kingdom was destroyed, and Christianity was pushed to extreme northern Spain. They had to reconquer Spain. It took them until 1492, the same year that Columbus discovered America, was the liberation of Spain, and under Catholicism, that from Moorish rule. Yeah,
right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, Charles, I appreciate the call. It's great information. I got one more caller. Got some other
Isabella the Crusader, if you could find a copy of it, Thomas Walsh.
I'm looking forward to reading that, because I want to know more.
If you can find a copy.
Okay, yeah, hard to find book. All right.
Yeah, Isabella, 15,
what was the name
15,
of the author again?
When usury was allowed in Christendom.
What was the name of the author?
The Medici. Well, that's Michael Hoffman II, revisionisthistory.org,
I think. I thought you said it was
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. He lives in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Okay.
And have him on as a guest sometimes might be a good idea.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
All right, well, thanks, Charles. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So I got the clip, the Beavis and Bughead clip, and we got Scott in Arizona. I'm going to take his call first, then we're going to play the Beavis and Butthead clip sent courtesy of Murr, whose show is on Sunday. She has the Murr. Oh, shoot. I'm sorry, Murr. I forgot the name of your show. Yours Truly with Murr Bailey. So catch her show on Sunday afternoon. I forgot what time it is, but 4 o'clock, is it? 3 o'clock, something like that. Anyway, you can go to find it in the archives. Cool. So, all right, let me take Scott from Arizona. Scott, welcome.
Hello. It's kind of interesting that previous caller was saying how the Jews let the Moors in. kind of like what's going on here coming across the borders, isn't it?
Well, one thing I said, you know,
corner.
Yeah, one thing I did say was Isabella freeing, you know, Spain from and Portugal from the Jews and kicking out the Jews. Well, they just end up coming over here and setting up shop. So that part wasn't so wonderful. So they get kicked out, they go somewhere else, and they parasite off that place too. So that's just always what happens. It's a real problem. So it's like kicking them out just kicks the can into somewhere else, and then just go set up somewhere else. And now they got the whole world. And, well, anyway, go ahead.
Kick them off that. Well, anyway, I was thinking you got to start referring to the Gaza Strip as the Gaza concentration camp. Because that's what it is.
Open air prison. Absolutely.
No, concentration camp. Use their words.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, you know, the concentration camp, Holocaust, right? Well, that's what Gaza Strip is. It's a concentration camp.
Yeah. So they cut off all their ability to even survive at all. I mean, it's just a complete genocide. They cut off their water, they cut off the food. This is what Jews do. It has to be exposed. They have no mercy. And this is their language that they use. There's no mercy for the Goyim. No mercy for Amalek. Just extirpate, wipe them out. Yeah, this is over. I think this is over. And, you know, whether they come back and fight back and, you know, have one last stand, we're done. The world's done with this disgusting behavior.
Well,
genocide for the rest of everybody else. Goodbye. That's what I'm – not you, but goodbye to their their rule and their
insanity.
Tyranny.
You know, this is what they did in Ukraine between the world wars. They genocide those peaceful German farmers, you know, by the tens of millions. They genocide everywhere they go.
Mm-hmm.
And they got these churches around where I am. They're all slobbering, you know, we're going to war. And it's like, what?
Yeah,
you're going to go die for the synagogue of Satan? Send your children there? Doesn't make sense to me.
It's so upside down and backwards and disgusting. And I remember 7 years ago, just before I got red-pilled, one of my relatives' liberal friends said on Facebook, there's a special place in hell for evangelical Christians. And I kind of got upset at that because I didn't know what that meant. It actually meant, you know, this is what we're saying, you know, the people supporting Zionism. And they're probably meant more than that, too. There probably was some BS leftist stuff in that as well. But I had no idea about any of this stuff. And then, so I'm just really grateful that I'm not one of those people that's still stuck in that delusion anymore. That's still blue pilled and living in a complete hallucination, like everybody else seems to be. So you're right. Send their kids off to war to fight for our enemy, so that they can use them to do their fighting for them, and then at the same time kill us because they're ultimately trying to do that.
Yeah, you know they. Israel can't win a war. They lost in Lebanon. They can kill a bunch of children that are in a concentration camp, you know, real tough.
They
guys.
Can't do anything without our help. Huh. Let me play a little clip from Ben Shapiro. This is like literally a 15-second clip. It's clip number 4, Mike. Did I not send you that either? Crap. Here, I've got it right here. Let me grab it real quick. Where is it? Ben Shapiro. Okay, here, let me find. Yeah, here we go. It's called Ben Shapiro's Hypocrisy. And there you go, Mike. If you don't mind, that's 15 seconds of Ben Shapiro saying
they
one
say that
thing.
I want America to fight wars for Israel. Nope. First of all, Israel can take care of herself. If Israel is forced to the wall, the possibility of nuclear exchange is extremely high. That is why it is very important that the United States provide the material aid to Israel.
Yeah. Piss off, Ben Shapiro. I used to really like Ben Shapiro before I woke up to the Jewish question. Now I understood what controlled opposition was, and now this guy is just unhinged nutcase, you know, absolute lunatic. Put in. And I think hopefully the people, these right-wing normies, are seeing that. You know, I just hope they do. Go ahead, Scott. You got any last thoughts?
Well, that's about it, but it's just the repeat of history. If we don't know the history, we repeat the horrors of the history.
That's you know? All right. Yeah, that's correct.
It seems to be the same people century after century.
Yeah, it sure does.
I figured this out. It was revealed to me, and I didn't even study this stuff. It just said, what are these people doing, you know, back in the 80s and 90s? It started just breaking out of the cocoons. I could see what was going on, what these people were doing. You know, I used to be, oh, Israel can do no wrong. Now they can do no right, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, all right. That's correct. They just go just evil to the core. Well,
the star, you know, on their flag, that's the star of Nephin, NEPHIN, or something like
Nephilim,
that.
Renfam.
Yeah, that's the same symbol that demonic thing creature had. It's on the Israel's just as demonic.
Oh,
all
yeah.
Right, thank you.
Sure. You got it. Yeah, I appreciate the call, Scott. So, yeah, the six-pointed stars, six triangles, 6 points, and six lines, 666. They worship Satan. They worship Lucifer. That's why they call themselves God's chosen people, because their God is Satan. So what are you going to do? You're going to know that that's what that is. So, all right, let's play this Beavis and Butthead clip, Mike. The one we've been waiting for. Whenever you're ready.
Take a shortcut through this thing.
While exaggerating gender norms sometimes winds up subverting existing paradigms.
Don't mind us.
We just need to get through here so we can score.
Yeah. There's a slut at our house who's going to, like, do it with us. Any of you ladies want to join the party?
Hang on, everyone. Hang on. This is teachable, okay? Now, they use the word slut in a sex-positive way, which is a good thing. But other than that, these two are a reminder that we still have a long, hard road ahead of us.
Long, hard.
Yeah, like a wiener, you know, or a schlong, you know? Get it?
Why don't we start by having you two tell us what you thought of the reading assignments for today?
We don't really read stuff.
Of course not, because you don't need to. Because Daddy's connections got you into college, and we'll get you a job on Wall Street.
Wait a minute. Do you know who my dad is?
I'm sure he's very powerful and can have me fired, but I don't care.
Cool. My dad's powerful.
Oh, that's cool, yeah. Because Butthead's mom said he died of syphilis. Wow.
This is a classic example of white privilege. And you both have it.
What's that?
Anyone want to fill them in?
Yeah, I'll do it. Okay, so white privilege is when white people, particularly men, automatically assume they can take whatever they want. And they never have to worry about getting stopped by the police. And they have the inside track for any job they...
I've got this one, Aisha. They have the inside track for any job they want.
Exactly, Gage. Thank you for that. That's white privilege.
Whoa. And we have that?
You sure do.
I see.
Whoa. I never realized this stuff.
Yeah. You've really opened up my eyes.
Well, I'm glad we've been able to enlighten you. The real question is... do you think you'll be acting differently from now on?
I guarantee it.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
Step aside, please. We have white privilege.
Yeah, check it out. Don't worry, it's okay. We automatically assume we can take what we want, And we don't have to worry about the police. It's okay, you didn't know. We didn't either. Good stuff now.
This is what we were taught, sir.
We're subverting existing paradigms.
This rules. I never thought I'd say this, but I'm glad we went to college.
Yeah, it's like, now I have the skills for today's workplace.
Well, let's see. What should we take next? Let's take that car.
But that's a police car.
Beavis, you dumbass. Didn't you hear? We don't have to worry about getting stopped by the police.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Beavis. Me. Let's tear ass.
That was cool.
Don't move!
Sir, maybe you didn't know, but we have white privilege.
Get your hands where I can see them!
I think the problem is you're just uneducated.
Yeah, we're gonna get jobs on Wall Street. You guys know where that is? Cut it out! Our dads are powerful! They did not die of syphilis!
Hey, Beavis was driving.
Oh, man, sorry about all the kind of degenerate sexual humor there in the beginning, kind of make you queasy or cringeworthy, but other than that, that's pretty funny, pretty good. All right, so let me see, going on something a little more serious. I don't have a lot of time left. You got any more callers? No, we don't have any more callers calling in. Okay, cool. So I'm going to go ahead and play from Catherine Austin Fitz. I got a clip from her. Let's see. Yeah, that seems pretty good. So I haven't watched this yet, but actually I did watch this. The Corona budget was used to build a, basically a CDC prison planet. So this is probably just about 3 minutes or so. Let me see here. Mike, maybe we have time to play this one. But this is kind of what's happening behind the scenes, you know, with all this stuff going on. This is the stuff they don't want us to really know about. I'm clicking on this link and it's not doing anything. Anyway, Mike, is the link working? Can you play this clip? The Corona budget was used. So it's clip number three. All right, yeah, go ahead.
So the other story I want to tell you at the World Economic Forum, I don't know if you saw the scene, but they had the Peruvian central banker on a panel describing why he really likes CBDC. And they're shooting down, looking at the faces of the other panelists, and they're looking. It's as though it's dawning on them what this means in terms of their personal freedom, their children, their grandchildren, and their, you know, the fear. You can feel the fear, and you realize, oh, they're beginning to realize they're going to get thrown over the, you know, overboard as well.
I mean, let's be honest here.
I mean, don't all these people understand this is going to, you know, they're going from having rights to slavery.
That's you're building a digital prison.
Right.
And the interesting part is that people that support me or support me with information, they are the people that are building this prison.
Right.
Because one of them is buying cement, the other is buying steel bars, and the third is digging
a
hole.
Do they see the picture?
They see the big picture. What's going on here? And at least what I can tell you about Europe, and that's the ugly part, that's the real ugly part, and that's the abuse of the pandemic to finance the digital transition.
So this is where you really have made a major contribution. So tell us all about this.
What happened is that, and once again, let me say how people can check this story if they don't believe it, because I hear it very often that people say, I can't imagine this to be true, it's conspiracy or whatever. In the summer of 2020, we were at the height of the pandemic.
Right.
And certain countries were also facing, let's say, possible financial collapse, like Italy and Spain mainly. Then there was a discussion on a European recovery fund. The
right.
Corona Fund is called,
right.
And it would be single. That's because there's a pandemic. It's a single, single use for this purpose. The Dutch government, however, has promised that the European Union, the currency union, will not evolve into a debt union, as they call it, the transfer union.
Right.
So no common debt. However, European Commission says, no, we need a common debt because this crisis, and the emergency and the crisis is so, it's a unique happening in history. Then something interesting happened. The Dutch government, including with some others, they yielded. They said, okay, well, in that case, do it. Within one day, they had drawn up a plan, 70 pages, with a budget in 10 line items for a total of nearly 2 trillion euro to be spent in the next 7 years. Next 7 years.
Building the smart grid?
With the digital identity in it.
Right.
So you turn on the news, you hear our Dutch government saying, no, we're not going to do this, we're against it, but people are persuading us here. But I thought to myself, wait a minute. And then suddenly they switch sides. Okay, we're going to do it. We didn't want, the Dutch government said, we didn't want this to happen, but the pressure was so great that we had to yield and now it's there. Sorry. I thought to myself, this is quite interesting. You go from being completely in complete disagreement,
right,
to a budget, 70 pages, 10 line items, from everything to migration, to personnel expenses, to a 7-year budget.
Right.
With a 2 trillion euro almost size, how can you come up with that in one day?
All right, I cut it by about a minute. We got the gist. The guy she was speaking, that's Catherine Austin Fitz, and she was speaking to Arno Wellens, and he's in the Netherlands, Dutch guy. You can tell from the accent. They're sitting in some kind of wine shop or coffee shop or something, having this conversation. So she lives out in there somewhere, Norway or the Netherlands or something. I think that's her main base of operations out there. So that's probably why she doesn't name the Jew too much. I think she'd get thrown in jail out there for that. I've tried to educate her on the hall. Well, I've tried to talk to her about when she's had people on her show or on her channel that are promoted the sort of Nazi thing. I've tried to help correct that, and to no avail. She told me to send her some stuff, but I just thought, well, if you don't know, if you haven't seen it by now, it's not going to do any good for me to send you anything. I just can't believe somebody like that would not know about that. Having worked in the State Department in the housing urban development, and then kind of becoming completely red-pilled on the whole thing they're doing and knowing exactly everything they're doing to the degree she knows about it. So kind of in a sense, give her a pass. She does a lot of great work. We're at the end of the show. Whoa, there it went. Okay. So thanks for listening, folks. Please donate to the network, republicbroadcasting.org, and stick around for Jeffrey Bennett coming up next, and then Jeremy from Kentucky. All right. Have a wonderful evening. Talk to you later. She hasn't shut up once.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee. Hemp.
hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.